Hello. and we talked about it last night. She was at this Christmas Eve movie watching from her place. And me and Sal said,
yet. There are people, but, right? Agi, right? Samuel Funakel. I think it says here that we're waiting for the host to turn this on. Are we there? Huh? Are we on? Can anyone hear me?
Yes.
I'm on the phone, not on Zoom.
Okay, well, you look great on the phone, Sharon.
What?
Sharon, I'm looking at you on the phone. I love what you did with your hair.
I don't know what you're saying.
Okay. I'll try it in English this time. Good. Okay, last week we left off in the middle, and we are going to continue now. We began with a very basic question, philosophical question. It's not just Jewish philosophy, but it's actually also philosophy, and that is as follows. We spoke about free will. Free will is the key that we have for the Jewish people, for people in general, for being created. Why does God need man? Kind when he has angel kind? And the answer is because what mankind brings to the table is free will. That which others do not have, that is what we have left off with last time. If a person really has free will, if there's nothing influencing what a person is going to do, not one way or the other, then how does that work together with the fact that God is all-knowing? And to put it, just to go through it, we spent a lot of time on this last time, I am about to make a decision. Right? I'm going to make a decision. Am I going to give tzedakah or am I not going to give tzedakah? And I have free will. There's nothing that's pushing me one way or the other. And therefore, I sit down to do this. If God knows what I'm going to choose, if God knows that in a minute from now I will have given the tzedakah, then I really didn't have a choice. Because if I really had a choice, God couldn't know. If God knows, I am muchrach. I am obligated to do the one that God knows. And in the event I really, really have free will, and nobody can know what I'm about to do, only me, if that's the case, then God really isn't all-knowing. The Rambam raises this question, and the Rambam says, there is an answer, but you wouldn't understand it. That's basically what the Rambam says. The Ravid gets very upset at the Rambam. The Ravid says, you know, so why did you raise the question? I'm sure most of the people would have never thought root of the problem. Help them one way or the other. So you just made more trouble than you're worth, Rambam. That wasn't a very smart idea. The Raivan himself, we said, is the answer. And the Raivan gives a very surprising answer, I think, had we considered it beforehand. The Raivan is of the opinion that, in fact, God really does not know the future. God knows everything that is happening. God knows everything that has happened. But God does not necessarily know everything that will happen. Why? So there's two reasons. One is there's no need for God to know what will happen. God knows what happens for the sake of schar v'onesh, in order to reward and to punish. What's going to happen hasn't happened yet, so that's not relevant. Could God know what would happen? Oh, absolutely. God could know what would happen, but God chooses not to look into what could happen, because God knows that would mess with Bechira Chavshis. That would mess with man's ability to have free will. And therefore, God chooses not to look into the future, because had God looked into the future, that would have only made trouble. Does that somehow mean that God is not all-powerful? No, not at all. We said that's the same as the question is, can God make a rock that is so heavy that God himself can't pick it up? And the answer is yes, God could do this. And in fact, it would not be a limitation of God, because it was God who chose to not pick it up. If God would have wanted to be able to pick up this rock, he could have. If God would have wanted to be able to see the future, he could have. He chooses not to. So therefore, it's not a limitation. That is his opinion. We then discuss the opinion of Rav Sadia Gaon. Rav Sadia Gaon takes a very different approach. Rav Sadia Gaon says that no, in fact, there is no stira. That in fact, God knows what's going to happen and we have absolute free will. How does that live together? So he says, in order to understand that, you have to step back and realize that God has created everything. And among the everything God has created, God has also created time. Time is a thing. And if somebody knows enough physics, I am not that person, they can explain to you that time is a different dimension. That time, in fact, can be played with, right? There could be the ability when you go up into space, time goes a little bit slower. I remember Michael Schwartz one time told me that one of the great moments he's had in his professional career is all of Einstein's theory that time runs at a different speed where you are is all very theoretically nice. He says, but when you're going to shoot up a satellite that's going to have to deal with time on Earth, if you don't make a correction for the speed of time where the satellite is versus the speed of time here, the entire GPS system's going to fall apart. Right? Time is a something. I don't really understand what this is. Cal, you're out there. Do you understand what this is? Time? Cal, yeah. Can you explain it?
Well, it turns out time depends on the relative speeds between you and someone else. So if you now have a satellite that's traveling at orbital speeds, the time actually slows down relative to you. So therefore you have to now make a correction for that. Now it's very small because the small effect. But right. If you're not talking about something like GPS, then it's something that has to be taken into account.
Right. So the idea here generally is that time is a thing, right? Time is...
Correct. Time is a dimension.
Right. It's a dimension. I can say the words. Let me ask. I don't know what I'm talking about. Therefore, as we said last week, as follows, right? It's not God is above time. God is not bound by time. God is not bound by time. God can see the future, but he doesn't see the future now. He sees the future then, because now, yesterday and tomorrow are all the same for God. Since God created time, and therefore God is not bound by time. So yes, God has the ability to see what's going to happen tomorrow, but it doesn't affect what you're going to choose, because he's not seeing tomorrow today, he's seeing tomorrow tomorrow. Because today, tomorrow, yesterday is all the same to God. That is the approach of Rav Sadia. Also, he said of Thomas Aquinas had the same approach, and he gave the mashal of the people walking through the canyon. The canyon day for me today. People worry, the people, as you walk through the narrow canyon, you can only see the person in front of you, right? However, if you're standing on the rim on top, you can see everybody. So too, we are going through time. I can only see the moment ahead of me. But God, who's above time, has the ability to see all of time. And therefore, that is why it is not a problem. That's where we left off, and that's where we're going to pick up now. Okay, we're all good with last class. Good. There you have it. So, we start off with number four, Gersonides. The Ralbag, very interesting. Rabbi Bleich wrote his PhD dissertation on the philosophy of Gersonides. He wrote a book, and I remember at one point he wrote an article, and someone wrote a letter to the editor, to Rabbi Bleich, saying, you know, I think you are unaware of the opinion of Gersonides, and he wrote back, as only Rabbi Bleich could, I am very aware, please see my book on the topic. Which, you know, it's the best slapdown I've ever seen in something in that area. The Ralbag has a very different approach. Not very different, but Ralbag, again, gives the idea of what does it mean to be all-knowing, right? All-knowing, what we understand about looking into the future and knowing the future, we see the future, what's going to happen tomorrow, right? We believe that that is knowledge, right? The knowledge of what is going to happen, of the future, is what is going to happen. The Ralbag, as we'll see, offers that there are alternative realities that could all logically be the future. I don't know if people are as educated as I am, but anyone here ever see Ender's Game? No? Nobody else was into Marvel? Yes, thing. So Doctor Strange, if you remember at that point, or maybe it was Infinity War, says that there were 1,700,000 possibilities of what could happen from here on in. These are the possible realities. So therefore, he's saying that knowledge of the future is not what is going to happen, but knowledge of the future is what could potentially happen. And God is all-knowing in that he knows all potential futures. Based on where we are today, there are many different possibilities of what tomorrow could look like, and many possibilities of what next week could look like, next month, next year, based on what happens. God has knowledge of every one of those possible futures. Therefore, God is all-knowing, not because he knows what is the one that is going to be, but he knows every one that could be. So let's take a look inside of number four. Elu ha'inyanim ha'efshariyim. These things that are possible, he mugbol mesudor mitzad efshir mitzad acher. There's an order of what could potentially be the next step in history. What knowledge means is knowledge is understanding based on where we are, what can be next. But to know what actually is going to be the one, that has not yet been figured out. God understands what could happen, but which of them is going to happen, that has not yet been chosen. Why has that not yet been chosen? Because man has free will. God leaves open, you know, certain gaps, right? There are certain parts of life that God controls. Right? Based on this, this is what could happen. Right? You go and there are two paths in front of you. One is the path less taken. The other is the path more taken. Right? And with that, you're going to make a decision. Probably. But you can't choose anything else. There's no third path. Right? So that's what I'm saying. That God sets up and God is aware of all of the paths. But the choice of which path there will be, that is left to man. Yes. So again, in practically it is not. But he is going for a different explanation. He's not saying that, it's not actually wrong. It's not really sort of sadder. I think it's more the right. Right? What he's saying is that God doesn't actually know what's going to happen. But he's not saying that God does not lack because he chose to do this. He says that, no, God does not lack because God knows all possibilities. Right? We see knowledge as this. Knowledge is, in fact, much greater, and God has that greater knowledge. Right? So ultimately, if I had, as we said last time, you know, there's different ways of looking at it. There's a way of looking at it. That's, we said something's got to give. Either somehow you have to pull back on the free will, or you have to pull back on the knowledge. So much like the Rivet, he's pulling back on the, but he's pulling out by expanding. So that is what the Ralbag is saying, ultimately. The Ralbag is only saying is that, you know, you think that to know the future is know what's going to happen. It's more than that. It's know what's going to happen and what could happen. There is one more approach among the primary sources, and that's the Or Hashem of Chasdai Kreskos, who is the first one who pulls back on the other side. What Kreskos says, the Or Hashem says, is that we think that we're making all of these decisions. The amount of Bechira that we have is not as great as we think we have. As introduction, let me just point to some cases in Tanakh. Yehuda and Tamar. David and Bathsheba. These were men who are on the level that the acts which they committed, the situations that they got involved with, in no way naturally flowed from her. God needed this, right? Interestingly, that again, these were very righteous men. Typically, righteous men do not take people's wives. They do not frequent prostitutes, right? Therefore, this was out of character for them, to put it mildly. Right? I'm saying that it's way off. Like, you know, people, there's something that Rav Dessler calls the Nekudas HaBechira, right? There is this point that every person has that they have to struggle with, right? Right? Just to put it into the case of some people who struggle out there whether or not to go to McDonald's, right? For them, they're at a point in their religion where this is a struggle for them. Other people, they absolutely keep kosher. This isn't the struggle. They wouldn't think about it, right? However, there are other things. Chol Yisrael, Yashar, right? Everybody has that point. But there are certain things that in everybody's life that are way beyond, I couldn't even consider doing that, on both sides.
A righteous man, you're saying you can't make
mistakes? A righteous man could absolutely. But, you know, there are places where you're, this is just beyond, right? I don't think I'm the greatest tzaddik in the world. But I generally walk down the street without any yetzer hara to kill people. By and large. And so, right, if I, you know, there are people I'm sure who do struggle with that, but that's not, I have my own struggles, right? For David, for Yehuda, this wasn't a struggle. This, you'd imagine that this wasn't a possibility. But for some reason or another, this had to happen. And note that the Mashiach is a descendant of both of them, of both of those relationships, right? So for some reason, God set it up in a way that this had to happen. So if you look at the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, it says, Lo David hayaroi lo osamaisa, that David himself would have never done this. However, God had a reason to arrange things in this way. It had to be that way. What? He was punished for it. That is absolutely correct. That's an excellent point. Wait a second. If he really didn't have free will, how did he get punished four times over for it? Coming up in Shmuel Bet. How is that a thing? So that's exactly what the Or HaShem is going to talk about. The Or HaShem says that, you know, the amount of free will that we have, and even the free will that we get punished for, might be not as much as we think. The idea, and we'll see, let's look inside and see what that means. Because again, we have cases out there where, you know, it looked like free will for Yehuda, it looked like free will for David, I try not to go, that's a case where the Torah got up and says, he lost it. It doesn't say that by David, it doesn't say that by Yehuda, but if you just look at the big picture, it doesn't make sense. So the Or HaShem says as follows. Right? Talking about reward and punishment. If man was forced to do something, meaning if man did not have free will, then reward and punishment would be something unjust done by God. It would not be fair. I had no choice. Right? I don't have free will, and now you're going to punish me for it? That's not fair. And in fact, if that's the case, everybody should be off the hook. He said, if this was, if you kind of looked at it in a vacuum, that would be a good argument. But if you realize what caused God to cause you to sin, perhaps that's what you're being punished from. He said, like, if I set something on fire, if I'm an arsonist, so you're going to put fire burns. It's natural. How can you punish fire for burning? The answer is, we're not punishing fire for burning. We're punishing you for setting a fire. What? So that's a different argument. But here the argument is, the fact that the fire burning is something that is one of the laws of nature, you know, So he said, so too, the fact that David did what David did, he may not be punished for that, but maybe he's punished for doing something that led to that. Right? Let's take the Yehuda case. Maybe Yehuda doesn't get punished for the relationship with Tamar, but maybe he does get punished because he never gave Shelah to Tamar, and that necessitated this to happen. She said, yes, sometimes we sin. And we don't have a choice in that sin. But there is a reason why God made us sin, because God wanted us to be punished. Now let's look into that a little further. It's punishment not for the act itself. He said, really, I shouldn't be saying this, because if I mention that there are times when people don't have free will, every evil person is going to jump on the bandwagon. Yep, that's me. No free will. What can I do? However, ultimately, he says that the punishment, even when you don't deserve it, is for your own good. There are times out there, we mentioned this on Shabbos a little bit, that God brings about a punishment, and it's really so we learn a lesson, so we raise ourselves. So God's not going to bring us a punishment out of the blue. So God causes us to do an avera, so therefore we get the punishment, and therefore we end up better people because of it. So in overall, yes. But in the terms of people looking at the world and say, is this justice? Right? By having the person sin first, right? As we'll see, at one point, when David HaMelech goes into Golus because of Absalom, he is ready to do Obed Avodah Zarah in order that people shouldn't turn around and say, oh my goodness, why is this happening? Low battery. I'll talk quicker. So that is the argument that we're making here. Hashem. Skip a little bit. This is really for everybody's good. Just like a parent punishes a child, so too God punishes you. What does it mean? When a parent punishes a child, it's not because the parent is getting revenge. It's not because he demands justice. He's doing it that the child should learn. You don't do this. You don't run in traffic. It's not a good thing. God does not want revenge on us for sinning. It's not because that this is what justice dictates. So ultimately what we're saying here is that, in fact, does God looking to the future, does that mess with free will? Yeah, it sometimes messes with free will. But you know what? God does sometimes mess with our free will. Maybe our free will isn't as great as we think it is. Not saying we have no free will, but not every time that we're making a choice is that really our free will. Our free will isn't as broad as we think it is. So we've had here, let's just to review, we've had several approaches as to what to do with this conflict between free will on the one hand and God's omnipotence on the other hand. On the one possibility, as you can say, is pull back on the free will, as we just said now. The other possibility, we had two approaches to it, is pull back on God's ability to see the future, right? Then there is Rav Sadia, as we said, there is no problem because God is above time. And then there is the Rambam, yeah, it's a problem, but you're not going to understand it. Those are the five approaches, really, that we've had until now. The Or Sameach, and this is our final and a major source, goes through the various approaches and discusses what he believes to be the correct approach. So again, the Or Sameach is a commentary on the Rambam. So this is the commentary that we are writing on the Rambam's Hilchos Tshuva, where he discusses this. It says, HaKol Tzofei V'Rishus Nesun, everything set up, you have the right to do as you wish. Al HaMaimer HaOmer Kazer, regarding this very deep idea, Kosev HaRambam B'Feirish HaMishnah Shiroi Ramish HaOmer Hu Rabbi Akiva. He thinks that Rabbi Akiva said this. Who Meir Inyan Sosum V'Chosum, he's telling us something that's very, very difficult to understand, very close to our, to us. The Inyan Hayadiyah Vabakhira Vagazera Vacharitsis Gamershtiafakum. It's the idea of knowledge and free will, because these are two exact opposites. Kevin Shiodeya Bore Basid, since God knows the future, Bahomi Falosim Sai, Mashar Yasu, and he knows what everyone's gonna do. Im came Batra Bakhira. Then no one's choosing because it's already been chosen. Can anyone choose the opposite of what God knows is going to be? If a person can choose, then God doesn't know what the truth is. That's even worse. So that's the problem, he says. This is what we're trying to deal with. The fact that these two basic foundations of our belief are in conflict with one another. In order to understand this, first let me wipe out the philosophers that are discussing absolute nonsense. You tell me that man does not have free will, that's absolute ridiculousness. That's a very strange idea. I reject that out of hand. It's the basics. Man's got to have free will. You cannot take away even the slightest bit of free will. Meaning this seems to be an attack on the Or Hashem. Right? The most basic fundamental is that man has complete free will, and you cannot chip away at that at all. Period. I cannot accept that. He If there's no free will, there's no punishment, there's no reward, there's no Torah, there's nothing, there's no commandments, there's nothing to talk about. On the other hand, the arriving, he goes and he says that knowledge isn't that great, that much. And we explained, he tries to explain there that it's not a lack of God's power that he doesn't know what's going to be. So he goes on, he says that, you know what, it's like the idea, does God really know if the fly is going to fly to the left or fly is going to fly to the right? Doesn't matter. God lets the fly fly however he wants to fly, because it doesn't affect God one way or the other. So too, God doesn't need to know everything. So God doesn't know exactly everything that's going to happen, not because that he's anyhow lacking, but it's so irrelevant, it just doesn't matter to him. And King, a person steals. Hashem Yodeya, he knows that it is. At the time when it happens, I will react to it, he says. Because what does it mean? When it happens and they yell out, then I'll do something. Why didn't you do something about it yesterday if you knew this was going to happen? All right, that God didn't necessarily know what was going to happen. So the Or Sameach says, I reject that rivet out of hand. Because we said that unlike we people, us and our knowledge are separate. Right? Over time, over my life, my knowledge hopefully grows. You know, I'm the same person with more knowledge. I'm the same person with less knowledge. God and his knowledge are one. Therefore, if you tell me that God's knowledge changes with time, by definition, you're telling me that God changes with time. And God cannot change because God is perfection. And perfection can never change and remain perfect. If God changes, it either means that he wasn't perfect yesterday or that he's not perfect now. Because perfect is the same as perfect. So therefore, since God and his knowledge are one, if God's knowledge changes, God attains new knowledge, then God has changed. And therefore, the Or Sameach says the Ravid's opinion must be rejected. The fact that God chose not to have knowledge, now he does have knowledge, that is a change, and God does not change. So therefore, not only has the Or Sameach rejected any possibility, like the Or Hashem said, that man's free will is limited, he has also rejected the Ravid, which is also the Ralbag's approach, that God's knowledge is not perfect, and that is what leads open the possibility for man to have free will.
Perhaps his knowledge is not
right, but the argument here is, well, not only does he know all the possibilities, but now he knows which possibility won. The argument of the Or Sameach would be, well, that was a piece of information also. We'll get there. Time is still on our side. Yes, it is. So, Masha, Efo. So he said, as the Pasuk says, I am God, I've never changed. Right, when God says, Eke, Asher, Eke, I am the same always, God says. And God says, don't think that when war comes and now I am a warrior. No, I was always a warrior. Nothing ever changes with God. What I will be is what I am, is what I was. So that doesn't help us. Nothing could change. Ultimately, he says, listen, don't hold this right. It was a mistake, God. He's not really a kofer. But he's just dead wrong. He then goes on, he says, this happens to be the same opinion of the Maharal. Batik bezeh divrei Rabbeinu Mephoros, Rabbeinu Rav Lowi, Miprag. Masha Kosta Bazet Varm Nimrots and Basefa Gurus Hashem Bagdoma Dvar Tamur Mumare Nenu. Hamiki Im Namarki Yadim is Hadesha Sesro, Ainzashino Rak Yitzias Pu'ula Meito. He explains that God's new knowledge isn't really a change. He says, I'm sorry, that can't be true. Im Tomar Khalila Shabori Amuvdo Mea Geshem Ro Yasik. So if you turn around, it just doesn't work. So then he goes on to what we call the Rav Sadia. And he says, he doesn't quote Rav Sadia, he quotes it in the name of somebody else, and he says as follows. 10%. Uwa matosus yontav hevi v'shinu amashino tiris mechuddo. The Tosas Yontav quotes this in the name of an earlier source. Devemes achshav kol mashiyas helbam ad ketsa amodas hanivram kvar yoda Hashem b'kadmusa. God knows everything from the time of creation. V'Hashem yochol v'sapel kol mashiyah b'masei adam. And God could tell you from the beginning what's always going to happen. Forever. No problem. Ach ze ino ha-hachshos im kein madua magi ha-ones ha-hashim. V'aschar v'tzadik, al ze ha-tiretz nochon demashi yodei ha-barach v'asid, hu mitza she'etzlo, yisbarach, gimo chokei ha-zman, avar, hove, asid, ke'achar eima. Says, it's not a question why, because all of time, past, future, and present, is all one. This is basically Rav Sadia. As he's saying, that is the answer they're offering there. V'kamo shu mimkomo shu olam. Said that God is above time, and therefore, this isn't the question. Right? Basically, this is the same answer that Rav Sadia gave. Said, but wait a second. But how can I be warning you not to do this if I know you've done it already? If God from day one knows what you've done in 20 years from now, how can I warn you? You better not do it if I know you already did it. That's not fair. He says, so this idea that he's above time doesn't answer all the world's questions. So maybe the answer is that God, at the time that he gave the warning, realized that some people will take his advice, and some people won't take his advice. And so when God gets up and says, listen to me, do tshuva, that's all nonsense, because he already knows it, whether you're going to do it or not. So why are you sending a Navi for it? Because the bottom line, he knows they're not going to do it. So why are we wasting? What's the sense of nevuah? I can't accept this. I can't believe that God was sending out Nevi'im. Well, he well knew that there's no way this was changing anything. So what's left? We've rejected the Ravid and the Ralbab. Right? We said there's no way that God is lacking in knowledge. We've rejected the Hashem. There's no way that people are lacking in their free will. And then we've also rejected Rav Sadia by saying that you can't tell me that God is all-knowing and he's above time, because that's the case. Why are we waiting? Wasting our time with Nevi'im and the like. What's the only thing that's left? The Rambam. Sof Tavar, Ein Lecha Teretz Al Shel Samuka. I got no answer. That's what the Rambam said. The Rambam said, trust me, God is all knowing. Trust me, man has free will. But also trust me, at the end of the day, you're not going to understand this. So, there you have it. Do we have to follow the Arsameach? I don't think so. I think that the Arsameach's questions are very strong questions. But you know, the Rishonim who gave these, they were pretty bright themselves. And therefore, I think that if a person was comfortable with one of the other opinions, I don't think there'd be anything wrong with that. But if a person turns around and says, you know what, I think he's got a point, and I think the Rambam is right, I think that's fine as well. And yes.
Why does God's knowledge of what you're ultimately going to choose limit your choice? You still have a choice. You can do one of a thousand things, but who knows what it is you're going to choose? And you have free choice to choose.
But Baruch knows what you want to choose. That's the only thing you could have possibly done. You couldn't possibly have done anything else.
You could have done anything, and you will know what that would be.
So I think you're arguing, Rav Saadia. I think you're arguing that the fact that God saw the movie before it happened didn't change anything. And I think ultimately that's the Rav Saadia argument. I think the question against it is what we just said is, well, if God really knew that nothing was going to change, well, if that's the case, God, so why did God send the Navi? I imagine there could be answers to that one. Well, yes.
What about the book of prophets where we're told explicitly that things only because of the Torah who wants them?
So we will get to that. Right? We will discuss Hashgacha brought this, right? This is not the less we've heard from free will, right? We will be continuing over the next weeks with other discussions of free will, and we'll take it from there. Right, well, this is the end of our discussion about how does omniscience and free will live together. Yes. I don't know. You know, I think it could be that they reject Rav Saadia based on the reason of the Or Sameach, the fact that this makes nevuah, you know, something that doesn't make any sense, and therefore they have to choose something else. Yeah, I think that would be a fair answer.
Like if you say that God knows, like the one that he knows all the paths, he obviously isn't in the future if he does it. Like he's not above time at that point, he's in the present.
Well, the idea is that God perhaps could choose to go into the future, but he chooses not to. Right? The fact that he does looking at the future and going into the future don't necessarily have to be different. As I said, this idea of God being over time, Cal understands it. I don't. Other than that. Okay, thank you very much.